each webinar is posted right after the webinar ends, and you can go and go to republicmagazine.com/webinar, and you'll find there a menu of webinars from the past going back, I don't know, probably about a year and a half ago, and there's page after page of webinars there that you can take advantage of on all sorts of topics, much like today's and many other areas dealing with health, wellness, freedom, liberty, all those issues that affect our lives. And so I invite you to not only listen yourself, but to send the link out to your list, to your friends, share it, because that's how change, dynamic change happens, because people sharing with people and information getting out, we know that the mass media, the mainstream media is not going to do that job for us, at least not now. There may be a turn where they begin to put more of this out, but as of today, that's not happening to any extent at all. So with that, I want to introduce Dr. Carolyn Dean, and she is an MD and an ND, and she's been on the forefront of the natural medicine revolution for over 30 years. She graduated from DeLucy, I hope I pronounced that right, Medical School in 1978, holds a medical license in California, and is a graduate of the Ontario Naturopathic College, now the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. Dr. Dean is the author, co-author of 19 health books, print and e-books, including The Magnesium Miracle, IBS for Dummies, IBS Cookbook for Dummies, Future Health Now Encyclopedia, Death by Modern Medicine, Everything Alzheimer's, and Hormone Balance. Dr. Dean has a free newsletter and a membership online wellness program called Future Health Now. Find out more at www.drcarolyndean.com. That's drcarolyndean.com. See her magnesium videos at www.nutritionalmagnesium.org. That's nutritionalmagnesium.org. And find out about yeast overgrowth at www.yeastconnection.com. That's yeastconnection.com. Dr. Dean is also available to assist individuals with all types of illness at any stage or degree of severity, through her telephone wellness consulting practice. Wow, what a busy person you are, Dr. Dean, and I'm just amazed at all that I'm hearing here that you've accomplished, and I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg. You probably just have too much time on your hands, don't you?
Yes, and I moved to Maui almost 2 years ago, and people said, are you retiring? And it's the funniest thing, because I wasn't retiring, but that's when I began working on my online wellness program, and it's amazing, Earl. You know, when you love what you do, and when you have the opportunity to do what you love, you can accomplish miracles.
I believe it. I really hear you on that. Mm. Well, you know, I think it might be of great interest to have you maybe sort of go back a little and tell us how you not only your background and your training, but kind of what spurred you into this field. What got you going? What lit you on fire with this?
Right. Well, I guess it was in the 60s when I was a teenager, and I traveled. My then boyfriend, now husband of 44 years, we traveled, and instead of getting involved with the drug culture or the hippie culture, we found ourselves in L.A., where I am right at this moment, actually, doing some conferences. And I began attending health seminars, Pavo Arola, the names that are on the books of people who began the natural health revolution. And I just read everything I could get my hands on. And it's funny, Earl, because at that time you could read everything. There weren't a lot of books out there. So I began reading and studying. And when we quit traveling and I went back to university, I went into biology. I was in honors biology, and I thought I'd work for the Department of the Environment and do ecology. But one day, some of my colleagues in one of my science classes, they'd just gotten their letters of acceptance to medical school. So they said, "Hey, did you get your letter?" And, you know, there I was, you know, probably second year university. Third year university. And it suddenly struck me, I have all this health information. I love telling people about lifestyle and diet and exercise. Of course, they weren't listening to me. And I said, my gosh, you know, I should just go into medicine. And I did that. The next day I went and applied at the dean of medicine's office. And lo and behold, my guidance counselor from high school was there, Miss Elliott. She was working in the office, so I got a chance to lecture her about why did she tell me I should be an executive secretary or a nurse in my guidance days in high school. So that was it. I got into medicine because I was very interested, you know, from the get-go in alternatives. So I just had to spend, you know, the next 4 or 5 years not losing my vision of being able to help people in medicine, because obstacle courses that I had to overcome in getting accepted was an interview with the third year medical students. And They didn't want to accept me. They rejected me because when they asked me what I thought I could do in medicine, I said I thought, you know, it was possible to help people with lifestyle and nutrition. And they thought I was a Pollyanna. But anyway, I got around all that. I got into medicine. I kind of kept myself intact. And on day one, getting out, I'd already been doing some naturopathic training on the side during my internship. And from the moment I started practicing, I was doing alternative medicine.
Mm, that's great, because, you know, what you run into so much is typical medicine. If someone's a doctor, many times their indoctrination is that those sorts of things are like old wives' tales or this kind of quackery or shaky limbs and weird stuff and all that. It's, you know, it's almost like what some people would think of, a scammy psychic or something, you know, fair psychic or something like that. But it's just, it's really interesting because we know that the medical pharmaceutical cartel has such a stranglehold on, you know, the funding, lobbying, and working towards information being provided to doctors and to other medical professionals that is towards putting money in their pockets, regardless of whether a doctor really is doing anything that would move towards a true healing or true treatment or true assistance. Someone,
well, medicine, basically the definition of what medicine is these days is the diagnosis of disease and the treatment of disease symptoms with drugs and surgery. It's got nothing to do with prevention. Prevention in medicine is doing enough mammograms until you find or create a cancer. So there's nothing in medicine that says they're going to try to help people or make them better or prevent disease. So there's an incredible disconnect where a patient goes to a doctor thinking, well, they're going to do the best for me. They're going to help keep me well. They'll tell me whether or not I really need a drug or surgery. But in fact, the doctor is he's looking for some sort of disease because that's what we're trained to do. If they don't find anything, they'll keep looking until they do find something. So a prescription is like, well, this is your reward for me finding something and everybody's happy. Whereas most people, they just go into a doctor for reassurance, like, you know, this gurgling in my belly, is there anything going on? Instead of the doctor taking 5 minutes and saying, well, what are you eating? What's your stress level? How are you sleeping? The doctor will say, oh, gurgly, okay, then, and they think, you know, what they learned in medical school. Oh, I better send him for an upper GI, an endoscopy, and a lower GI, and a colonoscopy. And you know, once a person has gone through all that, it's, you know, they find some polyps, they find a little ulceration in the stomach. You know, you've totally demoralized a person because you've given them, you know, this whole handful of diseases.
Wow. That is really something. Well, you know, I'm wondering, I know that you are very, very strong on the importance of magnesium, and we, you know, I think it would be really good for us to know the importance. And you've also said that, that up to 70% of the people are deficient in magnesium. Is that really true? Is it that common?
No, it's really true. Yeah, 70 to 80% aren't even getting the very bare minimum of the recommended daily allowance. And you got to know that the RDAs set by the government are just based on just scraping by without having a true deficiency disease. Like the vitamin C RDA prevents you from having scurvy. And but the magnesium, it's interesting how I got into that. I was bringing a book to Ballantine Random House on Chinese dietary therapy, and they had just bought such a book to publish. So they asked me to do magnesium, and I thought, gee whiz, how can I write a whole book on one mineral? And when I started looking at the literature, even though I was taking a little bit of magnesium in my daily supplements and whatnot, I realized that I was magnesium deficient. And I would have heart palpitations occasionally. I'd get really bad Charlie horses at night when I stretch my legs out, and I'd get muscle twitches. And when I look through what magnesium does and the way it's talked about, it's necessary in about 325 different enzyme functions in the body, and that's the most of any mineral or vitamin. And the way I look at magnesium and the book I wrote, The Magnesium Miracle, it really helps people understand a very basic element in their body that is in charge of hundreds of activities. It's a cofactor in all these enzymes that keeps your temperature regulated. It produces and transports energy. It's actually necessary for the synthesis of protein. It helps transmit nerve signals. It helps to relax the muscles. So what we've got happening, if people don't have enough magnesium and their muscles don't relax, and if you don't have enough magnesium, usually you've got more calcium in the body than magnesium. Calcium tightens things up and magnesium relaxes them. So you've got people who have tight muscles, they're irritable, you know, irritated and irritable. They're grinding their teeth with tension. They have muscle spasms and Charlie horses, like I said. But when you look at the heart is the biggest muscle in the body. So if that heart muscle goes into spasm, you've got a heart attack. So we've got people who are, as I said, 70 to 80% of people aren't even getting the minimum. And then you've got people like athletes who exercise a lot. They sweat out magnesium. You've got people under stress that lose magnesium. People that drink alcohol or coffee or smoke cigarettes, that burns off and diureses out magnesium. So you look to, well, where do you get magnesium? It's supposed to be in the food supply, but come to find out that the way they farm in agriculture these days, they never replace magnesium in their fertilizers. So you've got a situation where magnesium is very deficient in the soil, so it's deficient in the food. 100 years ago, we were getting about 500 milligrams of magnesium in our daily diet, and now we're lucky if we get 150. And we need 400 to 600 at least on a regular basis. So it's pretty important. And in my consulting practice, I'll get people who've been everywhere and done everything. They've been to medical doctors and naturopaths and alternative medical doctors, and they may be on, like, 30, 40. I had one patient, he was on 80 supplement pills a day. And I look at these lists, and they're not even on magnesium. So I tend to get very simple with people, go back to the basics, take some, basic magnesium and some food-based supplements, and I look at yeast overgrowth, I look at if they're toxic, I look at hormone balance, and, a few common sense things, and people can get themselves back into balance. And instead of actually with the medical model has been transposed into the naturopathic model for a lot of people where a naturopath thinks, well, you have all these symptoms, then here's a handful of supplements that should take care of it, instead of looking at the underlying cause. And in the case of magnesium deficiency is an underlying cause for, I have a list of 100 different symptoms.
Wow. So there's quite a few common symptoms, things that, I mean, if that much of the population is experiencing magnesium deficiency, then there's few that wouldn't be. It almost makes you wonder if everybody could take it, and it, obviously you wouldn't. I mean, even if you took, if you were doing pretty good, but you took some, it's not going to create any problem by making sure you have enough, even though
right.
you already have enough. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. And it's a good point, too, to go into, because what was amazing in researching and finding out more about magnesium is that if you do take too much, then it comes out of the body as a laxative effect. Now, being a gentle laxative, that's helpful for the 60% of the population that has constipation. So it's the one mineral that the body doesn't hold on to. You see, if you take a lot of calcium, maybe only 10% is absorbed. Well, the rest actually precipitates out into the tissues. It's really, I think, causing an epidemic of problems in women who are being told to take 1,500, 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day, and they're not being advised about magnesium. If you had magnesium and calcium in the right balance, then the magnesium actually makes calcium soluble in the blood and helps it go where it's needed in the bone, and it prevents it from settling down in tissues. But otherwise, if you've just got calcium and you don't have enough magnesium, you're going to possibly get gallstones, kidney stones, breast calcifications, atherosclerosis, heel spurs, and the fibromyalgia symptoms that a lot of women complain about. It's calcium sort of settling down in these toxic areas.
Wow. Well, it sounds like there's just so much that comes out of magnesium deficiency, and it's funny how there's such a lack of information, or I don't know, maybe it's just not, people are not paying attention, whatever it may be, but about the synergistic combination of components to something. It's like you say, that take all this calcium, but magnesium is needed to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people forget that component, and then they have all kinds of issues, and they don't understand what's going on. It's too bad that we don't understand the synergistic combination of components together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure hearing you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can someone be sure if they are deficient or not?
Well, that's where in the book I list the conditions. People with anxiety or panic attacks, asthma, blood clots, bile disease, bladder spasms, depression, diabetes, fatigue, heart disease, which includes hypertension, and angina, people with hypoglycemia, insomnia, kidney stones, migraine, any sort of musculoskeletal conditions, the fibrositis and cramps and any sort of pain, nerve problems, including migraines and spasms, PMS, painful periods, infertility. I mean, infertility can be a spasm in the fallopian tube so that you don't get the sperm traveling up the fallopian tube to impregnate the ovum. So anything that spasms up the body, premature contractions, the whole in labor, preeclampsia in women, that's a magnesium deficiency. Eclampsia and preeclampsia, that's where a woman, you know, close to delivering a baby will have high blood pressure, a lot of fluid retention, and can go into seizures. And actually, that was one lesson I learned in third-year medicine. I was doing a rotation through obstetrics, and this woman was eclamptic and seizuring, high blood pressure. And I thought, my gosh, you know, what drug is going to help that person and save the baby? And they put up a magnesium drip. And the fluid started draining off because it's, you know, has diuretic effects. The blood pressure came down, stopped seizuring. So I said, gosh, you know, why don't we use this for everybody? And it's when you talk to internists about magnesium, they say, oh, well, you know, we'll use the beta blockers and the ACE inhibitors and the diuretics and everything. Yeah, if that doesn't work, then we can add some magnesium. And actually, you know, that usually works. So they've got this drug list to give to people before they even think of magnesium.
There
is a reason for that, Earl. I mean, the magnesium is its own worst enemy because there's only 1% of the total body quantity of magnesium in the bloodstream. Only 1% is flowing through the blood, and it has to be kept at a constant, perfect level to keep the heart from spasming. So whenever they just, you know, put the dipstick of a blood test into the blood and come back, oh, well, that's normal, it's like you have to be dead before the magnesium in the blood will be abnormal. So they're using the wrong measure. They should be measuring in at the cellular level, or an ionized magnesium test would be very helpful, but that's only a research tool at this point. So, you know, if you do 100 magnesium tests and they're all normal, then you forget about doing magnesium and you assume it's always going to be normal. That's why doctors don't have anything to do with magnesium.
Okay. Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that people are going to need to supplement. But let's say that somebody says, okay, I'm going to supplement or whatever, but I want to make sure at least that I'm very aware of the natural food sources that I can get magnesium from and understand that and try to eat as much of that as I can. Can you direct us a little bit there and then tell us the best way to supplement otherwise?
Sure, Earl. The foods that are high in magnesium are nuts and seeds, seaweeds, deep leafy green vegetables, and whole grains. So it's basically a very healthy diet. You can make a nut pate, grind up some nuts and put in some lemon juice and some sea salt and lots of garlic, and you've got a high magnesium nut pate. Or you can use my dessert is cacao powder, frozen bananas, and coconut milk. And the cacao powder, chocolate, has huge amounts of magnesium. In fact, I joke with my clients, and if they're craving chocolate, I say, oh, that's because you need magnesium. So those are the foods, and they're not really foods that are on the fast food menus, so not a lot of people are eating them, and not a lot of people are getting their magnesium. In terms of supplements, there are several types of supplements. There's angstrom magnesium. It's a magnesium that's the size of the mineral channels that allow minerals into the cell at the cell level. And angstrom is the, what is it? It's the measurement between a nanometer and a picometer, so it's very tiny. And that's for people like myself who cannot take any oral magnesium pills because of the laxative effect. And that's what throws some people off magnesium, especially IBS. I wrote the IBS for Dummies books, and people with IBS diarrhea have a very hard time taking oral magnesium. So there's the angstrom magnesium, a magnesium citrate in powder form is the most common form of magnesium, and especially people who want to regulate their bowel movements, they'd use that. There are chelated magnesiums or sustained release ones that are very good for, you know, people in between. If you don't want to have any much of a laxative effect, then you can use a type of chelated magnesium. And what I have done, I don't sell supplements, but people are always asking me, well, you know, what do you take or what do you recommend? So on my website, drcarolyndean.com, you can just click on resources and see what my current recommendations are.
Great. Well, you're probably always, you know, refining and always looking at new things, and so you can pass.
Well, in a sense, I look at very good companies. I mainly focus on the angstrom magnesium and the magnesium citrate powder and food-based vitamins, and I just keep looking for good companies that are doing that and aren't putting like 100 different ingredients in their supplements, because I call that kitchen sink supplements. And when you have something with 100 ingredients, then you have 100 ways that could be contaminated.
Yes. Well, you know, some of the folks that have been on webinars with us have also talked a lot about selenium. It sounds like some of the foods you mentioned are high in selenium as well. You have anything to say about selenium? Or?
Well, Dr. Foster, he just recently passed away up in Canada, did a lot of research on selenium and AIDS in Africa. And selenium is crucial for the immune system. It helps convert bound testosterone and other hormones to free testosterone. So it's a hormonal mineral. It's a very important mineral. But what I like to do is get people on a multiple angstrom mineral so that they get a little bit of everything. See, if you're taking dirt minerals, what I call non-angstrom minerals, I call them dirt minerals, because what we've believed in the supplement industry is that we can just dig up some ground and find the minerals there and put it in a tablet and the body will accept them. But that's not the case. The absorption of a dirt mineral can be, like with magnesium oxide, 4%, or calcium carbonate is 4% absorbed. It can go up to maybe 12% for some of the minerals, but that's not good enough. You would like to get 100% absorption, and plant-based minerals will give you an absorption in the 90% range, and that's what we're looking at for the future of the nutritional industry, is for the industry to start doing some research and studies on, well, what is the real absorption of what you're selling? And if it's only 10% absorbed, then let's do better. Because what happens when a plant chelates a mineral inside its inside the body of the plant, what it's done is in the rootlets, the little root hairs that absorb minerals, they're size dependent. So they wait until the minerals have been chewed up by the worms and broken down by the bacteria and ground up by moving through mountain streams, and they'll only pick up angstrom-sized minerals. And then the chelating process that occurs in the plant is to attach an amino acid to a mineral to make it absorbed by the mammals that eat it. So in the nutritional industry, they decided, well, we'll take a dirt mineral, we'll attach an amino acid to it. We'll call it chelated, and we'll tell people that it's, you know, it's better absorbed. And what I found out from mineral researchers is that this chelating process may increase the absorption by 2%, and that's about all. So we're at a real pivotal point in the supplement industry where we have to get very real and honest about what we're giving people.
Okay. Well, I, you know, from what I'm hearing you say as far as the supplementing, it sounds like it as we just touched on before, that it's very safe. You know, I think it's such important information that you are sharing about the symptoms of magnesium deficiency and all about magnesium and the importance of it. It's just too often overlooked. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's almost like you can't emphasize it too much.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Well, one of the things I was going to say is that we already have some questions that have come in over the internet. So I do want to talk to you a little bit about the death by modern medicine. But if you don't mind, we might just take a quick detour to a couple of questions and maybe come back to that if that works for you.
Of course. Yeah. Wonderful.
Okay. And I want to let everybody know, remind you that we are speaking with Dr. Carolyn Dean. And some very interesting information that she's sharing with us. And if you do have a question for Dr. Dean today, and you're on the phone bridge line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll see that you'd like your line unmuted, and we can do so that you can ask your question. If you are on the internet and you're listening to the audio via the internet connection, then there's a small question box just under the link. And you'll type your question in there. It'd be really helpful if you put a first name and city and state and go ahead and submit that to us, and we'll make sure that the question gets asked. So what I will do at this point is go ahead and go to where the internet questions are, because I know I saw a minute ago we had a couple of them there, and we'll see what the questions are. Susan in Riverside, I have a numbness and pain in both wrists and forearms due to a pinched nerve held by herniated disc. Will these nerves heal eventually, and how to assist them naturally? You have anything on that, Dr. Dean?
Well, that sounds like obviously a physical anatomical situation where the vertebrae in the upper back and neck area are pinching down on the nerves, and that's for physical therapy or chiropractor traction works to relieve the tension. What we know about the nerves is that they do heal. It does take time. What I do for people, you know, I make sure they're doing good physical therapy or traction and chiropractic, but not, you know, the velocity adjustments in the neck, of course. What I would be recommending is magnesium oil, diluted magnesium oil that you can rub on the neck area and down the arms to help stimulate recovery of the nerves and help with any muscle spasming. And, yes, they can heal. And it's almost like, in situations like that, I mean, I know I don't know you, I don't know your whole case, but in general, when people say, you know, I've got this nerve damage, will it ever heal? Our bodies have a template at the cellular level. It's called our DNA. And the DNA in our cells is perfect. If we give it the right building blocks, it will grow, it will regrow perfect nerves that haven't been damaged. That's my view of things.
Okay. All right, that makes total sense. We have Laura Cassell in Palm Beach Gardens. What time of day should you take magnesium, and with or without food?
It can be with or without food, Laura. Some people, you'll start it during the day to see how you feel with it. Magnesium is an interesting mineral because it'll give people energy during the day but allow them to relax enough to be able to sleep at night. Occasionally, very occasionally, people, if they just take it at night, might feel a bit energized. And I think what that is if they've been magnesium deficient for a while, when you start stirring up 325 different enzyme systems in the body, it can sort of, I think, vibrate you a bit. You know, your body starts waking up on levels that have been sort of slowed down for a long time. So take it, start it during the day, and certainly if you're taking the magnesium powders, you try to split your doses, you know, take them two or even three times a day to make sure you don't get the laxative effect.
Mm. Okay, that's good advice. David in Farmington, New Mexico, Dr. Dean, are you aware of any fast-acting measures to deal with gallstones? My friend is scheduled for gallbladder surgery next Tuesday. She would like to avoid surgery if there is a viable alternative. Also, I'm the one who asked you in an email about the validity of ionized / alkalized water. It would be interesting to hear you discuss on this show. Thanks so much.
Well, with gallstones, I wouldn't be able to say anything that could shift a surgery date, unless the person, you wanted to do castor oil packs, use magnesium oil rubbed on the area, change the diet to include more magnesium and choline and inositol, the lecithin components that help break down gallstones. I mean, there's a lot of remedies. There are some kind of very drastic remedies that some people do with taking lemon juice and olive oil to really cramp up the gallbladder. But if you've got known stones, you do have to be concerned about a stone getting stuck in your common bile duct if you try to purge your stones. There are a lot of things to be done, but they would take time. In terms of ionized alkaline water, I know it's through the years, people have been trying to convince me about being able to measure the acidity and alkalinity of the body and using pH papers and then adjusting the diet and watching your pH change. And it's very difficult because the body is dynamic. You know, minute by minute, it's shifting and changing. So basically, I tell people to eat a good diet and try to focus on the alkaline foods as opposed to the acidic foods. And water-wise, ionized or not, I've never noticed a difference. I've taken people to live cell microscopists, you know, where you take a drop of your blood and put it under slide, and what happened in several instances is someone would have their blood looked at under a microscope, and the blood would be all clumped, and they call it rouleau formation throughout. And then I would just have the person drink a liter of alkaline water, and the blood would be completely different. And we did the same thing, testing just with spring water, and the blood was completely normally different, I'm saying. So water, if you have good water, I don't know if it has to be alkaline. I don't know if the body responds to alkalinity, pH in water. I mean, I personally don't think the price tag of $4,000 or $5,000 for these machines gives you the results that you think, except the placebo effect. If you've paid $5,000 for a machine, you're darn well going to feel better with it. So you line yourself up with, well, you're going to be drinking more water for one thing, and that's the most important thing, to drink water. If you have to pay $5,000 in order to drink more water, then perfect. Do it. Go for it.
Interesting. Okay. If we were to know just how much placebo effect there is, and yet I'm sure there are good things and they do help. So just have to kind of look at everything and try to discern what is the best action to take towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Dorley in Centennial, Colorado, what do you think of oil minerals? Does magnesium have anything to do with acid reflux? Sounds like two questions.
What was the first question?
What do you think of colloidal minerals?
Oh, colloidal. Well, colloidal just means grouping or clumping. It doesn't mean the size, so it doesn't tell you whether or not they're of the angstrom size that will get into the cells at the cellular level. So I kind of passed over the colloidal minerals and went right to the angstrom. And I don't know, I don't understand the question, whether magnesium helps acid reflux or whether it causes it. What is she asking?
Yeah, we don't know, and if she wants to, you know, send another quick note, we can clarify. But maybe either, maybe have you heard anything that it might cause it or help it? Either one.
Well, heartburn. What's happening there is mostly people are eating too much, eating one meal on top of another. They're not. They're eating too big a meal that doesn't get digested, and then the next meal time comes along and they eat more, or they're eating fruit on top of a heavy meal, which then gets into fermentation. So heartburn is mainly a fermentation in the stomach that then bubbles up into your esophagus. So you can buy all kinds of expensive digestive enzymes if you want to, but the best route to take is cut the portion of your meals in half. Don't drink water with your meals. And if you want to take some sort of remedy, you can take a tablespoon or two of apple cider vinegar in some water and sip that before and during your meal. And that helps the stomach acidity to digest your food.
Okay. Frank in Long Beach, for the woman with a pinched nerve, she may want to try Back to Life. It's a very effective medicine or machine that has resolved a friend's back problem that rarely ever recurs. A Google search should reveal their site. Any comment on that? Or?
I have no idea, and I don't really promote products that I have no knowledge about.
Good advice. Yes, that makes sense. Frank also says, do you have any knowledge about the efficacy of the zero-point energy wand developed by a company in Singapore and now being marketed nationwide? Various YouTube videos are showing incredible results.
Well, I've been around this business, let's say, the natural medicine world for, well, I guess it's since I began my practice in 1979, and every year, you know, every month, there's a new machine, a new therapy, a new supplement, a new something that's going to cure everybody's ills. And if you're lined up with it, it'll work for you. If at that moment in time you're ready to heal yourself, then that machine may be just what you think is helping you, but it may not be. So I'm very reluctant to jump onto any bandwagon about any new supplement or any new therapy. I think it's very much where the person is at in terms of their attitude and their alignment with wanting to be a whole person. And you know, when you think of the way Jesus saw it, he never healed anyone. He just saw the person as whole. So if we can see ourselves as whole, as our DNA is perfect, it's in all our cells, and we just hold that notion, then we can continue to create ourselves as perfect as we want to be.
Certainly. Makes sense. Well, with that, I think what we'll do is take a look then at the book. And I just want to remind everyone, if you we invite you to certainly take part in the conversation. It's all of our webinar. It's Dr. Dean's, it's mine, it's yours, it's all of us, and that we're co-creating it together. So with any questions, if you're on the phone line, just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll be able to unmute your line. And then if you are on the internet link, just type in that question box your question and submit that, and we'll make sure it gets asked. So I'm going to jump back to Death by Modern Medicine. And I was just wondering, what prompted you? Why did you write the book called Death by Modern Medicine, Seeking Safe Solutions?
Well, it began as Death by Medicine, as a paper that I wrote for Gary Null. I guess that's going back 2003, 2004. And it was at a time when my mother was dying of acute leukemia that was probably being caused by her cholesterol medication and high blood pressure medication. So Gary kind of challenged me to find the causes of death by modern medicine. And in government databases and peer-reviewed journals, just by looking at the various ways that people die at the hands of modern medicine, I added them all up and got the statistics, and it turned out to be three-quarters of a million people dying annually in some medical-related way, which is drug side effects, surgical complications, bed sores, all the ways that are all kept statistically. The information is all there. It may be all chopped up and all over the place, but if you look for it, it's there. So we've got a situation where we've allowed doctors to be in charge of our health and our disease. And when you go to a doctor and you have a list of symptoms, you're going to end up on a list of medications. And what we know is when you're on a whole handful of medications, they start interacting in ways that have never been studied, and certainly never studied in your own body. And then the side effects build up. You develop an overloaded liver from dealing with the toxins. We know from research that only 4% of drug side effects are even diagnosed by doctors. They don't want to know that they're hurting you, so they kind of turn a blind eye to symptoms. So you'll get a scenario of someone being under enormous stress. You know, someone died in the family, there's a funeral, you know, no, they're not sleeping. They go to the doctor and their blood pressure's high. So the doctor, instead of realizing it's a whole stress thing and giving some common sense advice or some support, will put the person on a blood pressure medication. And then they'll be back, you know, come back in a month and we'll see how you're doing. Well, their blood pressure's worse because they've been given a diuretic and they're losing magnesium, and the stress that they came in with was caused by magnesium, not caused by magnesium deficiency, but stress will use up magnesium in the body and you'll become more deficient. And so you're losing more magnesium with your diuretic, and then they'll say, oh, well, I guess we better put you on another blood pressure medication. Another month goes by, you come back, and all of a sudden, I think that's probably at the 3 month mark that you're going to have your blood test, and then your blood sugar is elevated and your cholesterol is elevated. Both of those are due to the magnesium deficiency that's being induced by the blood pressure medication. So I've seen that picture over and over and over again. This scenario, I talk about it, people say, yeah, that's exactly what happened to my mother or me. And people have got to wake up that the medical interventions, unnecessary medical interventions, are causing so many side effects. It's not that they're just, you know, useless. They're actually causing damage.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Gary Null. He's a really interesting fellow, but he's been at this for a long time like you have, and very passionate and committed and high integrity, and you both seem to resonate that same way.
I'm not in his box, so don't put me there. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize that. Doctors aren't really trying to hurt people. I mean, some of the things that we all say, you'd almost think that they were trying to do that, and that would be kind of hard to believe. It's got to all just be one big misunderstanding.
Right, and, you know, when I write about this sort of thing, and really, as an aside, this is one of my 19 books. Every other book is very positive, giving people resources, and this was sort of trying to get people to understand that, yeah, there is a real problem. And sometimes I get feedback, especially from doctors' wives, and they say, well, my husband is a nice doctor, you know, you shouldn't be putting doctors down, but it's the whole system, that, and doctors are caught in it, where you go to medical school now if you want to be a specialist for, 8 or 9 years, and so you've got 8 or 9 years of debt. And in order to get out of debt, you have to practice. And if you don't practice the standard practice of medicine, then you're going to lose your license. The medical profession is very heavily policed within itself, that if doctors aren't prescribing medications and aren't making the diagnosis, aren't referring to specialists, they're tagged and they're investigated. And a lot of people just don't understand how that can be, but you've got to look at the results. Anybody who's been in hospital or had relatives or friends in hospital, they see what's happening. It's an assembly line where people's symptoms are just treated mechanically with drugs or surgery. So that there's the bias of how the doctors are trained. I went to medical school. I was told that if you don't learn it in medicine, then it's probably quackery. I was told the same about chiropractic and herbology or nutrition, that it's all quackery, and it's all under the umbrella of, oh, we're so scientific in medicine, and herbs and supplements, they're not scientifically studied. But then if you look at the different websites that are exposing a lot of medical research is bought and paid for by drug companies to show a bias toward drug therapies. And there's a huge bias against nutritional therapy, constant against nutritional therapy. But if you pick up my book, The Magnesium Miracle, you'll see how incredibly important this one mineral is, yet doctors know nothing about it. So it's a real crime, and I don't know if there's any way around it, because as I've already said, in naturopathic medicine, they've taken on the same sort of moniker of, well, if you have a symptom, I'll give you a whole bunch of supplements instead of getting at root causes.
Okay. In the 13 chapters, I know you discuss issues that are causing death, and maybe you could elucidate those a little bit.
Yes, I'll hallucinate on them for you. I mean, so there's the death by the way doctors are trained, by drug companies, by the healthcare bureaucracy. I mean, the bureaucracy of the HMOs is killing people every day. Death by media. The TV is allowed to be our doctor now by producing all these drug ads. I have one of my sisters is a doctor, and she said she spends half her clinic time talking people out of the drugs that they see on TV. There's the death by propaganda, by the drugs and the procedures. We've got people having or demanding total body X-ray scans that can be equivalent to 200 chest X-rays. So there's all this radiation, and people don't seem to mind. I mean, I went to my dentist the other day, and I didn't see the dentist. I was put into a side room, and then the X-ray apron comes out, and I said, I didn't order X-rays. Oh, this is routine. And I had that poor girl quivering because I said, never say an X-ray is routine. It's a radiation. She said, oh, it's digital. I said, that's still 10% radiation. So, you know, it's got to be routine that we do these scans and radiological procedures. And there's a death by modern science. It's completely dead because it's been bought out. Death by Cancer Inc. I mean, cancer is a huge industry now, and people aren't looking at a cure. They're just looking at sustaining life and using as many medications as possible, as long as possible. It's a business. And the chemicals, death by modern chemicals, it started with the DDT and all those chemicals that now supposedly we're not allowed to use, but other countries are using DDT, and then we're importing their produce. So we're still exposed to DDT. Death by sugar is huge. I mean, the late Abram Hoffer, he said that sugar is as addictive as heroin. And there's death by addiction itself, death by denial, and death by lifestyle. And I think death by lifestyle is huge, because every time they've done a lifestyle study of if you exercise more, you'll live longer, yes, common sense. If you eat better, you'll live longer, yes. But these things are promoted because nobody, you know, you can't patent lifestyle. And that's where, I mean, I'm always on the edge of, you know, the leading edge of whatever. And that's where I decided, you know, you've already heard me express, I don't like to use a lot of supplements. I like people to take charge of their own health. And going against all trends, I developed my Future Health Now wellness program. And it's an online program. You get what we call modules every week that tell you very basic things, but I have a lot of to-dos or ways of implementing these very basic things, because every one of you, I mean, everyone on this webinar, you've heard so much of this information, but are you applying it? So I put it in a very common sense framework where people learn how to take care of their own health. And you can actually go to my website, drcaroldean.com, and click on the wellness program, and you can get the first four modules for free to sample it. I go into how your ancestors ate and how that affects you, and in subsequent modules, I have one on how to sit on the toilet to prevent rectal and bowel cancer. I mean, there are simple things that you can implement. So I'm doing that instead of a weekend course to change your life or lose 50 pounds in one weekend. I'm telling people this, you know, you can hang out with me for a year or two and we'll go through these things and you'll be a different person.
Well, you know, it's interesting because as you were talking earlier, something that came to mind, it's almost like the way I see the way doctors believe and operate, and then the folks that are dependent on them, that look up to them almost like gods, they determine what they should and shouldn't do and pronounce everything about their health or well-being, and they become seriously dependent, and it's just really interesting. What I see is, and it's been compared this way by some different speakers and researchers, that it's almost like a cult. It operates like a cult, the pharmaceutical medical cult, and those that are caught up in it. And if you think about how a cult operates, it is almost like that, isn't it?
It is, and people have to be wary of that ability for someone who seems to have information. You know, then they'll start selling you products. Then, you know, they'll start saying that they're the only person to follow. It happens in all fields, and we have to be our own cult. We have to take care of ourselves and not, you know, once you're dependent on somebody else or something else, you've given up your power. So what you want to do is take your own power back, because you are your own creator of your own life and reality, and no one can create that for you. Otherwise, you're creating by default, you know, you're giving it up to somebody else.
Well, it seems to me it's almost like, so that we people don't have to rely so much on modern medicine, it's almost like what we need is a self-care revolution in this country, people taking charge of their own, doing, finding other ways, thinking through, researching, investigating, asking questions. Don't just accept. Don't just lay down and take whatever comes your way. But do your own due diligence. it sounds like to me. I think I hear you saying things sort of like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have another book, another new book called How to Change Your Life with Magnesium and Future Health Now Encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit about those and how they're different from the Magnesium Miracle.
Right. Yes, I am. With magnesium, it's in its second edition of the Ballantine book, and it wasn't until after the second edition was published that I even found out about the Angstrom minerals, and that's going back 3 years now. So in How to Change Your Life with Magnesium, I go over the different types of magnesium, and then I go into some of the magnesium miracle stories, because I think that's what really grabs people. I can say over and over again that if you have any sort of spasm, you need magnesium. But then I'll give a story about someone who has esophageal spasm. You know, there was this case where someone, they were trying to swallow something and their esophagus went into spasm, and they had a very hard time until someone brought along a bit of magnesium powder and water, and they held that in their mouth and the spasm actually released. And so that brought a lot of, when I wrote about that in my blog, a lot of people wrote in and said, oh, I've had that before. And it's these stories that grab people's attention and personalize it for them. And the other book, the Future Health Now Encyclopedia, that goes into over 100 conditions and how to treat them with herbs or vitamins and minerals, lifestyle, diet, that sort of thing. And it's separate from the Future Health Now program, because in Future Health Now, I don't talk about diseases. I talk about how to stay healthy and be well. And in a sense, it's all about preventing disease, not waiting until you get a disease and then having to figure out how to deal with it.
Okay. Well, I do want to, I know we're at the hour, and if you have just a few more moments, I did want to mention a couple of things, and I think there were maybe a couple of questions, and then we can,
sure.
We can wind it down if that works for you. I did want to let everyone know, and we're going to be there too, and we'll have a booth there, booth 512, but Dr. Dean is a key presenter at the 2010 Health Freedom Expo, being held at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. That's Friday, March 26th, Saturday, March 27th, and Sunday, March 28th. And for information, they're also having one in Chicago in early June, so those folks in that area can check that out too. You'll find the information at healthfreedomexpo.com. That's healthfreedomexpo.com. Or you can call 888-658-3976. And I'll say it once more, 888-658-3976. If you would, Dr. Dean, maybe, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but if you do, you could share it. If not, they can find it on the website. But maybe the times and the lecture titles of when you're speaking there, or maybe you know the day.
Right.
I don't
have it. It's on the Saturday. I'm speaking Saturday at 2 o'clock, and the topic is Death by Modern Medicine, Seeking Safe Solutions. And then it's 5:30 till 7. I'm on a panel with a number of people. I don't have the list in front of me, but they call us, health freedom fighters. I get into that label because I went to a number of Codex meetings in Europe just a couple of years ago and found out how our supplements and foods are being regulated and standardized by the World Trade Organization as well as the World Health Organization. And that's where I decided, well, it's pretty hard to fight these guys. I'm just going to focus on the supplements that won't be regulated, in the sense of if you have low potency food-based vitamins and angstrom-sized minerals, there the potency is not going to trigger off problem with Codex, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get everything into the supplement quantity of, say, a Centrum multivitamin. And in the Health Freedom Movement, that basically I wrote the book, I decided how I had to approach it in order to get around the coming regulations, and then I created the Future Health Now program because the only way we can avoid drugs and stay out of hospital is to stay healthy. And nobody can make you healthy except yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to invite everybody to I've attended that expo for a few years now, and it is terrific. The array of speakers there are just incredible. We featured some of them in the previous weeks, and we'll feature some next week. In fact, Jeffrey Smith, who was to speak yesterday and was unable or be on the webinar yesterday, was unable to, but we rescheduled him for Wednesday the 24th at the same time, so people will still be able to catch him, and he has a lot to share too. But I'd say between the vendors there, the speakers and the attendees, everything, it's quite an expo. You'll find it to be very rich with content of every type. Certainly use your discernment, because there's all kinds of things being offered there. And as Dr. Dean has cautioned, we've got to be, clear about what we're being taken in with or, being offered.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a booth there also, Dr. Dean?
No, I don't. I mean, people can get my books on my website through Amazon, and I have a couple of e-books, the magnesium e-book, and the encyclopedia is an e-book. But no, I don't sell products. What I will be doing, though, is I have some posters offering people the first 4 weeks of Future Health Now free that I'll be handing out at Expo. But people on the line, they can go to my website and have a similar offer.
Okay, great. Well, and you know what, if you would, just so, because some people may have come in towards the end of this, if you would give out contact information that people, can connect with your website. I guess you've got more than one site. And if there's a number, say they're not on the internet, if they're just listening by the phone line, is there any type of number or other way to contact you? If you want to give that information now, it'd be great.
Yes, sure. DrCarolynDean.com is my website, and I don't have the time to take phone calls, but
okay.
I'm usually very good about answering emails, and that is help@DrCarolynDean.com. I think those are the best ways to contact me, through my website or my email.
Okay, that would be great. And people that, if you're not on the internet, then maybe you have a friend or relative or someone, or you can even go to the library and do it that way. So, there's always a way to make that communication happen. And I would, let me just, if you have a couple moments here, I know I had a couple of questions that came in as we were speaking.
Yeah, okay.
Sam in Newark, New Jersey, eating an ice cream container laced with aspartame resulted in one eye with a blind spot. What should I do? Thank you.
Wow. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know the extent of the damage. What I do with aspartame is there are homeopathic aspartame remedies that you can take to try to get rid of any residual aspartame that might be in those tissues. That's where I point people when I do consulting, homeopathic aspartame.
Okay. Yeah, aspartame is just, it's unbelievable. There's tons of, so much research, it's just almost overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we continue on with the marketing of that.
Right, but, when you tell people, well, one of the three ingredients is wood alcohol, why would anyone be ingesting wood alcohol? And we know when we've heard of wood alcohol poisoning cases, it causes blindness. So it's bound to happen to people. It's causing all these symptoms that we hear about, but they seem to be covered up in mainstream.
It couldn't be related to money, would it? You mean somebody's making a lot of money and they want to hush up anything that's contrary to that flow of money in their direction?
Right.
They don't want somebody to turn off their spigot.
Right.
Yes. Doralee in Centennial, Colorado, thanks for your courage for writing Death by Modern Medicine as an MD. Does somebody that eats grass-fed beef daily while eating low levels of leafy greens have a higher need for magnesium?
Yes, high animal protein diets absolutely require more magnesium, especially if you're not getting any in your greens.
Okay, that makes sense. And Melanie Masters, Conway, Arkansas, thank you for your research and time in this interview. As a young mother, what would you say is the most important path I should take to keep my daughter and family healthy and away from unnecessary procedures in the coming decades? We eat local food and stay away from processed foods as much as possible. What else can I do proactively for our future?
Well, you know, Melanie, I would say to join the Future Health Now program, because it's $17 a month. You get a wealth of information that would be impossible to relate in, you know, in even a consultation with me. I tell people, like, each module is like an hour-long consultation, so that that type of information built up over a year or two will give you all the preventive things, all the solutions. Like, I think the module that's on board right now is about gargling and snorting. And it's perfect, because now that spring is coming, people need ways to deal with itchy, scratchy throats, you know, the whole hay fever pollen situation. So just, you know, basic things need to be done. And otherwise, you know, if I tell people, you know, what can I do to stay healthy, it's like, well, there here are about 24 different books that you'd have to look through to get the information that I can give to people in this online wellness program.
Hmm. Okay. And with that, I think we're you know, pretty much to the end of our webinar. Mm-hmm. I really want to thank you very much. And I would say this, that maybe in just a moment, if there's some final parting thoughts that you'd like to leave us with, we can do that. I just want to mention to the folks that the replay of this and other webinars can be found at republicmagazine.com/webinar. As I mentioned before, we're going to have a really great lineup next week. One of them is going to be Jeffrey Smith, and he's definitely a do-not-miss as well. And we do generally have the webinars every single week. We're actually doing a little bit of shifting in the days that we're having it, and we're going to be coming out with a whole new schedule. So stay tuned for the details on that. And with that, I would also invite everyone who is within range and the ability to come to the 2010 Health Freedom Expo at the Long Beach Convention Center, March 26th through 28th, to take advantage of that. Come on out and meet Dr. Dean and meet some of these other folks and take part in this. It's fantastic. It'll give you a wealth of information, and it's quite fun just to experience all the things that are available there. That would be found at healthfreedomexpo.com. And with that, Dr. Dean, if there's some final thoughts you'd like to leave us with, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you very much, Earl, for inviting me and allowing me to spout forth. And I guess I would just like to reinforce what I said earlier about taking charge of your own health and knowing that you have the capacity to take care of your own health and to grow your own cells and to give yourselves the building blocks to do that by following a good basic diet, staying away from synthetic food, exercising, getting your sleep, and just get back to basics. And, you know, don't be running around looking for the miracle cure for things when it's up to you and taking responsibility for your own health rather than buying a product or finding a guru that's going to take care of you. It really is up to you. It's about your own universe. And when people try to sort of rain on your parade or tell you you have to be worried about all kinds of things, you just say, not in my universe. And you stay in your healthy universe. And I think that's the best advice I can give.
Right. Well, that's perfect advice. I like that. I certainly do. And I thank you again. It's been a pleasure. I really like this type of conversation. And, you know, certainly we'll look ahead and maybe we'll, you know, check in again with you if you're willing to come back and visit with us again in the future.
Of course.
And get some updates at that time and some more questions can come in and that type of thing. Well, I want to thank everyone that joined us today on this Republic Magazine webinar. And I'm Earl Bell, and today's guest has been Dr. Carolyn Dean. And we'll see you all next week. And this officially ends our webinar. Have a great afternoon and evening. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left.